If you have your Bible, Psalms 119 is where we're headed. Psalms 119. I said this morning that we would go here tonight, and I didn't know that until I opened my mouth this morning. So I love it when the Lord does that. So I had been looking over that passage and praying and thinking about it, but hadn't really settled on it. The message you heard this morning was only half of the message, actually. I planned to do the second half, but I guess the Lord wants something else, so we'll go that direction, amen? When he says that, and you just do what he says to do, amen? So we'll go there. Thank you, Will Heights, for singing that. What a blessing. I met Miss Wilda this morning. I don't know what you call her, Wilda, playing the organ up here. And I bragged on the guys this morning, so I thought I better brag on her. What a blessing to be up here and faithful and serving and playing that thing. Where'd she go? I lost her. Oh, there she is. Hi, Miss Wilda. Good to see you. You have a wonderful church here. Don't quit. Amen. Don't quit. Raise those kids. Stay in church. Pay the bills and look for the trumpet. Amen. That's it. That's it. And I'm excited. Be praying for us. I got a crazy couple of months here. It's been a great year last year, and we go into this year. I'm here at Heartland, and then I go back, and I've been put on the board of a thing called Awake America, a Capital Connection. It's trying to see senators and assemblymen and those kinds of things saved, and pastors being involved in legislation in California. That's a big, big deal, life and death, if you ask me. I've had success and had, I just seem to click with politicians. I don't know what that means. Don't take it wrong, okay? But I seem to click with politicians. It's come into my area to be able to be involved in this and get other pastors involved, and I'm excited about that. I'll go to Sacramento when we get back. I'll be home about a week and then head up there for about 3 days, and then I'll get back. And we have Brother McCracken, 1st of February. Amen. Looking forward to that. He'll do a couples weekend for us, and then a revival week, Sunday through Wednesday, and then as soon as he leaves, I'll one of my deacons is taking a church. I said, we'll have that ordination weekend. So it's just a bit of a craziness, and I'm excited about it. It's a good way to start off the year, just running, amen? Just running. If you'll bear with me this evening, Psalms 119, 161 is where we're going to go. You can stand, and we'll read the Word of God here. I'm going to read a lot of verses. We're going to be right in Psalms 165. Is it okay to quote a lot of Scripture?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay? I'm going to tell you the first three quarters of this message is all in Psalms 165, every verse. There's a lot of verses in there, and they're all good. Psalms 119, 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of, what is the next two words?
Thy word.
I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Our key verse tonight, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Father, I need you tonight. Use me, empty me. Let people see past me and right into your word, your heart, your mind this evening, Father. Might this not be a wasted hour, but an hour that will change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I said this morning, what does it mean? Well, I said this morning that we as Christians in the world of today are so easily offended. The whole world, let me just back up. The whole world is offended at everything. There was a time and place in the world where you could say something and disagree about something, and people would just go, well, I don't agree with that, shake hands and move on. Do you remember those good old days? Now everybody's offended, and there's got to be legislation, there's got to be Facebook posts, and the whole world's got to come down on everybody about everything. And it just makes me sick, first of all. Second of all, what makes me really want to be sick is when Christians are like that. Christians should be the most unoffendable people in the whole wide world. And Christendom as a whole, let me get specific, Baptists as a whole, we just got our emotions right on the top of us. Ooh, he sat in my seat. We had that two Sundays ago. We had switch seat Sunday. Oh, we had a split in our church. I said, you got to sit somewhere else. Oh, it was weird. It was weird. My assistant pastor always sits right down here. Whenever something goes wrong, I give him that dirty look, you know, like, and something went wrong. Where's he? Oh, he's sitting in the back. Oh, with the backslide. Oh, sorry, backsliders. I didn't mean that. Oh, Carl, good to see you. Not back there tonight. That's right where you belong. Good. Good. That guy could sell ice to Eskimos. He tried to get me to join the Alumni Association. He sold everything to me. I don't want people to be like that. I don't want Christians to be like that. I think we could do better than that. In this world of division, the church should be unified around a common goal, the pursuit of Jesus Christ, the glorifying of God, to the diminishing of self at all costs. And I know that's a battle. Can I get an amen? I mean, I like being in front. I can't. If there's a line of cars, I got to drive in front of them. Amen. I mean, if there's a line at Walmart, I'm looking for the short one. But that's not what we need to be about. The Bible says, what does it, I want to say, read this verse again. Say, great peace have they, 165 here, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What does that mean? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What does it mean that those who love the law of God shall not be offended? What does that really mean? Are hurt feelings proof that someone does not love God's word? Think about that. Are hurt feelings proof that someone does not love God's word? I would say yes. Let's look at the scripture and study it a bit. The passage teaches two wonderful benefits that come to those who love God's law. First, they have a great peace. In this world, do we need great peace? The world is coming apart at the seams, quick and fast. And if you're going to have some peace in this world, your mind had better be stayed on Him. I think that's quoted somewhere else. Amen. We better have the word of God. Second, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. This is settled by answering three questions. What does it mean to love God's law? We're going to look at that very quickly. We could go 3 weeks on that thought. What does it mean to have great peace? And what state is someone in when nothing offends them? First of all, what does it mean to love God's law? First of all, Psalms 119, look at verse 1. Stay with me, and you're going to have to flip fast because I don't want to spend the whole time here because I could, but I want you to get the idea. What does it mean to love God's law? First of all, I must accept the Bible as the Word of God. You say, Pastor, do you know where you're at? You're in Texas. I do know where I'm at. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We say we love the Word of God, but talk is cheap. Action proves it. Does that make sense? Action proves it. David here accepted the scripture as God's word. Verse 1, it says, the law of the Lord. Verse 2, it says, keep His commandments. Verse 3, walk in His ways. Verse 4, kept thy precepts. What does it say? Diligently. Verse 5, He kept thy statutes. Verse 6, have respect unto all thy commandments. Am I going too fast? Amen. Verse 7, learned thy righteous judgments. Verse 8, kept thy statutes. I must accept the Bible as God's word. Cover to cover, and I even believe the cover. Amen. The holy word of God, and my name is Donnie Wilson. Woohoo! There it is. But we gotta know and love the word of God. If we're going to make it in this world, if we're going to, great peace have they which love thy law, then nothing shall offend them. We got to love God's word. We've got to love God's word. David accepted the scripture as God's word. David believed that the word of God was inspired, inerrant, absolutely trustworthy. Psalms 119:86, all thy commandments are faithful, thy precepts they persecute me wrongfully. They help thou me. He says, I believe thy commandments. All thy commandments are faithful. He knew it. He loved it. He was absorbed in it. David believed that God's word reveals character. Is it true? It reveals character. Verse 7. Are you with me again? I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned righteous judgments. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Hang on. Verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in all thy judgments. If you read the whole of Psalms 119, there are all but three verses mention the word of God. Do you know that? We know that, right, in here? It mentions the word of God over and over and over. David is saying, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. In your life, how do you raise kids? It's the word of God. How do you live life? It's the word of God. How do you make it with that guy at work that you can't stand? It's the word of God. How do you make it with that husband? I mean, no, that's not right. It's the word of God. It's the word of God over and over and over. Psalms 119:40, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Do you love the word of God? David responded to the word of God just as he would respond to God himself. As to God himself. This book is God's word. Amen. It's as if God is standing in the room tonight speaking to us verbally. Yes. It's here. He printed it for us. We've got to treat it and love it like that. He loved it. He respected it. Verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect under thy commandments. He trusted it. Verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust thy word. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek the precepts. He was looking for it. He wanted to find God's word. He wanted to know it. He loved it. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments. I have loved thy precepts. Verse 81, he hoped in it, my faith for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Where's your hope? Just hang on. I want you to get this foundation with me. Some of you are tuning out. Don't do it yet. What does it mean to love God's law? I must accept the word of Bible as the word of God. I must approach the Bible as my divine law book. It must be the rule of my conduct. The law means rule of conduct. Testimonies means bears witness to a sinful and a loving God. The ways, over and over in the Bible, it says the ways gives a rule of conduct. And the way that we should walk, how do I walk? Where do I go? The precepts are responsibilities that are entrusted to me. Does this sound like the word of God to you? It does. Yeah, it sounds like the word of God. The statutes, the definite prescribed written law. There are statutes. Where I live, there's a lot of HOAs. You know what that is? A homeowners association. That means you can't paint your house pink if you don't want to. If you want to, you can. I don't want you to, but you can't. They have HOAs where I live. If you leave your trash cans on the front too long, for more than 10 minutes longer, they can fine you for that. I don't live in an HOA. I mean, if I want to leave my trash can on the street, I will. I'm just a little bit independent that way. Precepts are those rules that are laid out, and we're going to give an account for that. There are statutes and commandments and judgments and his word and the truth and ordinances, decrees that are laid out there. It's a path that keeps me straight, isn't it? The word of God. Psalms 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. It is the water that makes me clean. Verse 9, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to God's word. It's a song that makes me joyful. Makes me joyful. The statutes have been my song in mine house. It's gold that makes me rich. The law of my mouth is better unto me than the thousands of gold and silver. Verse 72. It is food to make me strong. 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey. It is light to my to make me sure. Are you getting the picture this morning, this evening, whatever day it is? Are you getting the idea that we should love this book?
Yes,
that we should know it in and out, up and down, right and left, better than we know the remote on the TV stand, better than we know the iPhone, if you're godly, iPhone in your hand, Android. Do you know what I'm saying? Hey, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend. It's a heritage. It's a heritage that makes me grateful. What a great heritage, Pastor just said, His parents raised him. My parents raised us. We were drug babies, amen? Drugged to church whether we wanted to go or not. It was good for us. It didn't hurt us much at all. Much at all. What does it mean to love God's law? I must ask God to help me understand the Bible. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 73, David asked God for understanding. Verse 18, he asked God to open his eyes. Going fast, because I just want you to get the idea. He says, I must act upon what I learn. And we sit in here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, missions conference. What good is it? When you walk out of those back doors, is there an effect in your life? Is there an action to be put into place? I know your pastor, he's opening the Word of God, he's studying, he's wanting you to get something. But if you walk out of here and it goes in and goes out, you might as well go to the Elks Club or the Hooses or the Gooses or the VFW or something. Be just as profitable, probably more profitable. You might make better connections. I must act upon what I learned from God's Word. Verse 45 says that David walked in his precepts. Verse 55, he says he kept his law. He said in verse 9, to take heed according to it. He performed it in verse 107 or verse 106, that I've kept thy righteous judgment. Verse 35, look at it with me. I'll pause on this one real quick. Verse 35, make me to go in thy paths of thy commandments. For therein do I delight. Make me to go. Get up and go. Do something for the Lord. It says in verse 60, a couple of verses down, I made haste and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. I read the word of God and I made haste. I found out I needed to do something. I got up and got out there and did it. Amen? I got out there and did it. What does it mean to love God's law? All of Psalms 119. That's what it means to love God's law. Every one of those verses over and over and over is an action or something to keep or a testimony, a precept, all of those things that we have to love God's law. My question tonight, do you love God's law? Great peace have they which love thy law. You say, Pastor, my mind is racing and I'm a mess and I watch Fox News. That's your first mistake. Don't watch Fox News. Get in the Word of God. That talking head on that TV is just going to make you eat some Tums and think the world's coming to an end. You know what it is? But I'm on the winning side. I got a job to do, a heart full of love and a handful of tracks. Get out there and make haste. Do something for God. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let's go. Let's get out there. Let's do something. I think there's a few people in Lubbock that need the Lord. I think there's a neighbor, a coworker. Great peace have they which love thy law. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can witness. Great peace which love thy law. You love the Word of God, you're going to be motivated to obey the Word of God. Teenagers, do you love God's Word? Are you obeying? Adults, do you love God's Word? Then obey it. Then obey it. Do what it says. Three questions. What does it mean to love God's law? Psalms 119. That's what it means to love God's law. Tomorrow morning and the rest of the week, open that those verses and read them over and over. It'd be a great study for you over and over to understand precepts and testimonies and law and all those words in there. What does it mean to love God's law? We love God's law when we accept it as the very word of God. It's not vain thought. It's not worldly recollection. It's not gold and money above it. It's God's law, his loving kindness. So what does it mean to have peace? So what does that mean? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What is great peace? When I truly love God's law, both in word and in deed, I will have great peace in my heart. I will have great peace. I'm not troubled by the conflicting philosophies of the world, or drawn by the weak and beggarly elements of this world. When I think weak and beggarly elements, I think government. I think, man, the bickering and the philosophies, you've got a couple of colleges around here. I don't know how liberal they are, but I'm guessing, like any other college, they have their issues, amen? Those philosophies that are competing, the last year, 2 years, the philosophies that even have come into the local church. Pastor and I were talking about even the difficulties of navigating COVID. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I see a unified church here, a loving church tonight, but I'm saying one element of the devil could get in here and, ooh, there would be a mess. There could be a mess. We've got to love God's law more than those philosophies, more than those talking heads. I live by a higher principle and a higher plane. I have great peace, a perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind. Where's your mind? Well, I lost mine years ago, but I don't miss it. Where's your mind? Is it stayed on him? I'm wanting you to focus on, is it stayed on him? A peace that is not as the world giveth. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let your heart be not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Anybody been worried the last couple of years about stuff? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, if you focus on the Word of God, your mind will be stayed on Him. Those things, I worry about America. I worry about my kids and the America they're growing up in just as much as the next guy. But what's the answer? Fret and worry and... I'll tell you the answer. Get my nose in that book and get a handful of these. That's how I change it. There's no other way. I'm going to the state capitol. I'm doing what I can there because I have that opportunity. But you may or may not have that opportunity, but you do have this opportunity. And I'm assuming most of us own 6 or 8 Bibles in here and 3 or 4 apps and have Google, amen. We could get a Bible. If you can't get a Bible, you need a Bible, see me. I'll get you one. Holy mackerel. Are mackerel holy? I don't know. I'm just saying, get your mind stayed on Him. Is that going to take some discipline, some effort to bring every thought into captivity? I think it's 1 Corinthians says. That's tough. It's an effort. A peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. What does it mean to have great peace? All of those elements. To truly love the Word of God. To have your mind stay on Him. You'll have peace. The world could fall apart around you and you will have peace. Let your mind be stayed on Him. What state is it when someone... when nothing offends them? What I talked about this morning. The meaning of this phrase rests on a really proper understanding of the word offends. Okay? What does it mean to be offended? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In modern vernacular, a commonly spoken meaning, the word offends is very narrow. I am offended. He took my seat. They, whatever, and we have our emotions on our sleeves and on our shoulders. I'm offended, and that's the world we live in. That's the accepted meaning. It's really only a small portion of the meaning of the word. If you look it up in the King James and look back to the meaning over the years, the etymology of all, offend means to strike against. To strike against. In this context, it means to strike against. What does that mean? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We really do use this word in a couple respects. We use it in sports and in war. We go on the offense. I think there's a few basketball players and a few football lovers in here. We like offense. We win games with offense. Is that correct? Defense is great and way more fun to play, but offense wins games. We have to strike against the enemy to win. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend, and nothing shall strike against us. Think about that. Nothing shall strike against us. We also see the word, history of the word, in someone who is to fend for themselves. It has the same idea. Go and fend for yourselves. It's an early English translation. It really means to not stumble and fall, but to fend and make it happen. Make it work. By extension, it came to mean to cause someone to stumble, fall. Through some reference to offend in Scripture carries a common, commonly known meaning, creating resentment or displeasure, all of those things. The understanding makes a biblical teaching interesting. If you look at Matthew 5:29, why don't you turn there with me? 5:29. If thy right eye, what does it say? Offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable that thee, that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right eye, here it is, offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell. The stipulation of your eye offending, remove it, also carries the context Christ is referring to an offense to be cast into hell. So if your eye or your hand offends thee, better to cut it off than go into hell to remove it instead of being there. Matthew 13 has the same idea, but he received the seed in the stony place, and the same that heareth the word anon with joy receiveth it. He hath not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when any tribulation or persecution arise because of thy word, by and by he is offended. It never got root. We struck against and it didn't go down in. The seed fell on stony places, no root. It wasn't there. It didn't take hold. He is offended. He is offended because he never truly was redeemed. Redeemed. Also, when Christ stated on that night of his arrest, "Ye shall be offended because of me that night," Matthew 26:31, he did not mean that we would get our feelings hurt. He wasn't, "Oh no, we're crying." He meant that we would quit and flee. There wasn't a root. It goes back to the idea, listen, great peace have they which, are you with me? Love thy law. I'm afraid we have shallow Christians or not Christians at all because we're offended all the time. If we have a love for the Word of God and we've dug down, we've got some roots, the winds can blow, the seas can wave at us, and it doesn't matter because I'm grounded, I'm rooted. If you're offended, check, are we walking with the Word of God? Am I consuming the Word of God? Am I loving it? Am I spending time with Him? Great peace have they which love thy law, and I've got roots. I'm like that oak. What is that? What is that little kid's song? I can't think of it right now. It just left me. Oh, come on, somebody that's got. Yeah, there we go. Wise man built his house on the rock. Thank you. Foolish man built his house on the sand. We got to get roots. We got to get deep. We are to take heed lest our liberty become a stumbling block. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block for them that are weak. Psalms 119:65, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's say it together. Ready? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We need an unoffendable church tonight. In two ways. We don't need to have our emotions on our sleeves, first of all. But more importantly, we need to have some depth. If something were to strike against us, we go, praise the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This past year in my church, one of the godless ladies in my church, been 20 years working side by side with her, Robin Greenan. My wife and her are best friends. When we came to Lighthouse, we were kids right out of college. There was nobody even close to our age when we went there. There was nobody. Nobody to hang out with, nobody. And we were in the youth group. We were kind of restarting the youth group. There was three or four kids, and they didn't come very often, and I had to get going. And so we were excited about that at first, and then a couple of years in, we're like, maybe a year and a half in, we're like, we might need some other friends here. Just too much time with each other. I don't like you so much. I love you, but I don't like you. Let's Joe and Robin started helping us in youth group. Plays the guitar and led some music. His kids ended up being the youth group. Two peas in a pod. We went over there all the time. They became ministry co-laborers. Hearts knit together. Over the course of 2021, started having these dizzy spells she did, and started having this hurt and pain in her neck, and just weak and just woozy and couldn't figure it out. Finally, her boss calls me one Thursday, says, "You need to come and get me. I'm at Robin's house. I had to take her home. She couldn't drive home." So I go over there and pick up her boss and take it. Joe comes home from work and takes him to the hospital for months. Can't figure out what's going on. Nothing. COVID's got everything stalled and nobody's getting in the hospitals. Next thing I know, she's in a wheelchair. This is a 60-year-old lady that looks like a 20-year-old lady, the energy of a 20-year-old lady, runs VBS and kids clubs and ministries and works a full-time job, and just, you just want to bottle her energy. All of a sudden, she can't control her arms and her legs, and she can't talk, and she can't feed herself, and what's going on? We keep praying for a miracle. The Kraken came last year, preached, and we went over to her house, and sang some songs. He prayed with her. Probably one of the lowest days of my life, honestly. Her husband is one of the godliest men I know. I could tell you where he is at 5 a.m. every morning without fail. Every morning without fail. His kids, since he was a kid, every morning without fail. He's in his music room. He's reading the Word of God. He's praying for 45 minutes. And then, to their chagrin, he led the music for years and years. He's getting his guitar out and looking over the schedule for next week. And he starts singing at the top of his lungs because he knows every song. But he's got to practice it every morning because it's got to be perfection because it's for the Lord. Every time I went over there, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't know what's going on. You know, I wish we could get in frustration like anybody would, but gave God the glory. In the end, they say she has an autoimmune disease in her neck. It's eating her spinal cord. If they'd caught it earlier, they could have slowed it down, but because of COVID, it's too late. And they don't know how long. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That man loves the Word of God more than his wife, more than anything in this world. And it shows. He has a peace that it's beyond understanding. I don't know if I would have handled it that way. Do you have that kind of peace? I tell you what it comes from for him. 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, even his wife in the wheelchair, I guarantee you I know where he's at. He's in his music room, opening the Word of God, and consuming it. He wouldn't have made it, I promise you. He would not have made it through that year and a half with her, with no diagnosis, money pouring out everywhere. He just retired, excited about traveling and see the grandkids, all gone. His plan wiped clean. I don't know, a couple months ago, for the first time, he brought his wife to the church. She hadn't been in a year or more. There's a hallelujah in the crowd. You know, he moved some chairs out so he'd get the wheelchair in. It's just a joy, praying for months and months. Church, let's have that kind of peace. Let's not be offended. When we get struck against, let's be depth. Let's have the depth to withstand, to walk with the Word of God. And then the secondary, let's not be offended when somebody sits on our seat. Let's not be offended when my baby doesn't get the diaper changed as fast as she should. Let's not be offended when that guy took my parking spot. Let's not be offended. Because there's a greater thing. And it just makes me wonder, is there a depth of the Word of God? Is there a depth of the Word of God or not? Does that mean I won't get my feelings hurt? We will. But let's check it. Let's check it. I think Lubbock could use a church that isn't offended easily. I'm guessing a number of Baptist churches have been started in this church because some portion of the church was offended and they started another one across the town. Does that make sense? And maybe that was God's will and maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But I'm telling you, strong churches is what Lubbock needs. And that strength comes from loving the Word of God more than anything else. If you're worried about that, if you're not sure that's a limited understanding, I would say this. I would say this. You could go to 1 Corinthians 13 and go to verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth most things, is that what the Bible says? Beareth all things. Believeth. Don't believe it. When you hear the rumor about Brother Fowler, it's not true. Just don't believe it. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. The least we could do is grow some roots and not be so emotional. I'll tell you, it's not going to happen without tomorrow morning getting up, spending time in this book.